Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim Daf Samach Ches. We will begin on Daf Samach Zayin on the base, 10 lines from the bottom. Omar, in the previous shiurim, we had learned the opinion of Rav Shimon that the Torah, when it speaks about Shiluach Machnois, when the Torah speaks about asking people to leave the various Machnos based on the Tumah, and the Torah said that a Zov has to leave both the Machna Shechina and the Machna Leviah, and the Torah says the word V'cholzov in describing that and saying this halacha. So the Rav Shimon taught us the Rabbis Balkeri, that a Balkeri must leave also both the Machna Shechina and Machna Leviah. Says the Gemara Masailei, this opinion that Rav Shimon cited, the Masailei Rabbi Yochanan Damar Rabbi Yochanan Mechilo Yisloi Neskachu, the tunnels under the Beis HaMikdash did not become kadosh, or Balkeri mishtalkel chutz shtei machnos, and a Balkeri has to leave both the machna shechina and the machna leviah. So Rashi says that these two halachas that we just learned are really not connected. It just happens to be that Rabbi Yochanan learned these two halachas at the same time from his Rebbe, and that's why he repeated them at the same time, but there really is no connection. However, the Tosfos Rid says that there is a connection between these two halachas, because what the Tosfos Rid says, the Gemara is trying to teach us, is that if we have a Balkeri, a Kohen who's a Balkeri, and he now, as we're learning, must leave the Beis HaMikdash, but we want him to leave in a way that he's not going in a place where he may not be. So therefore, said Rabbi Yochanan, the Mechilos, the tunnels underground, did not become Kaddosh. And therefore, for the Balkeri to exit the Beis HaMikdash through those Mechilos is a perfect way of getting out without being Metame the Beis HaMikdash or being in a place where he may not be. Meisrei asked the Gemara, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Zavim, Perakei Mishnah Yud Aleph, Balkeri Kamagasheretz, that the Mishnah says that the status of Balkeri is the same status as somebody who had touched the Sheretz. My love, suggests the Gemara, what is meant by connecting these two individuals? My love, isn't what was meant to teach us who else? That where must they leave? And we know that the halacha is that somebody who has a Tumah Sheretz may only not enter or be in the Machna Shechina, but he may be in the Machna Leviah. So isn't the Mishnah teaching us, ask the Gemara, that so too is the halacha regarding a Balkeri? Says Merloi, that's not what was meant. It was meant l'inyan l'tumasam, regarding the duration of the Tumah, that both of them are only Tumah till the evening. A Balkeri goes to the mikveh, and after Harav Shemesh, she's fine. And so too is the halacha of somebody who came in contact with a Sheretz. Ask the Gemara to Masam, if that's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us, Hai Tumas Erev Ksibay, regarding somebody who touched the Sheretz, it says explicitly in the Torah of that halacha, for Hai Tumas Erev Ksibay, and so too by Balkeri. We don't need a Mishnah to teach us something which is explicit in the Torah. Elalav, so we go back to our original position that's come to teach us L'machnoisam. And if that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, then the halacha is that Balkeri as only also to be in the Machna Shechina, not also in the Machna Leviah. Says Marloi, Loilam L'tumasam. The Mishnah is coming to speak to us about the Tumah. V'okam Ashmalon. And what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? The Balkeri Kamaga Sheretz. That we compare a Balkeri to somebody who touched the Sheretz. Ma Maga Sheretz Matama Ba'oinus. If somebody was touched by a Sheretz, even though it was not something that he planned, the Sheretz just landed on him, for example, he will still be considered Tamei Sheretz, at Balkeri, even about, so too is the halacha by Balkeri, that even if it was by accident, it was something he's not well, or he ate too much, it doesn't make a difference. If he saw Keri, he has the halacha of a Balkeri. So the Gemara continues to ask, Meisrei, there's another Mishnah. Mishnah says, Boil Nida Ketamei Meis. That if somebody has relationships with a nida, he is considered like a tamei meis. Ask the Gemara, Lamai, again, what is the Mishnah trying to teach us with that halacha? Ilayim l'tumasam, if we're here to teach us the halacha that they're both tamei, and for the amount of time they're tamei, ask the Gemara, that is not necessary for us to learn, because hay tumei shevek sibbe, by a tamei mace, the Torah says explicitly that he's tamei for 7 days, v'hay tumei shevek sibbe, and the same thing is if somebody has relations with a nida, the Torah is very explicit that he's tamei for 7 days. Elalav, what must this Mishnah come in to teach us? L'machnoisam, that the loch by Tamei Meis is that he has to be removed in the Machne Shechina, and so too is the loch regarding a boil nida. Umid the Sefer, and this is Mishnah is a continuation of the Mishnah that we quoted a moment ago. Here we're clearly saying that the Mishnah is coming to teach us in this part of the Mishnah, L'machnoisam, the halachas from where different tumas must be asked to leave. So if that's the way we're understanding this part of Mishnah, so Reisha Nami, we'll have to understand that the Reisha also is L'machnoisam, is also speaking about that. So isn't that a right? So now we go back to understanding the Mishnah as we understood it a few moments ago. And the Mishnah is teaching us that a Balkeri is asked to leave the but only the Machna Shechina, not also the Machna Leviya, just like Tomei Sheretz, not like Rav Shimon said. Says the Gemara, Loi, Hakadi Midiria, Hakadis Vakadisa. The Reisha is speaking about the halacha that we said about that they become Tomei Ba'oinis. The Sefer is talking about a different subject altogether. The Sefer is talking about the amount of time, the area that they have to leave the boil nida and the tummy mace. Ask the Gemara another question. Macefei, there's a brisa. The brisa says mitzayru chum mizov. A mitzayru is considered a more serious tumma than a zov. Yotz about the zov chum and tummy mace, and a zov is considered more a serious tummy than a tumas mess. Yotz about keri, well keri she tummy mace chum menu. A tummy mace is a more serious tumma than a bal keri. My, so ask the Gemara. What did the Braisa mean with the last statement that we just learned, that Yotz Balkeri Shetomei Meis Chomem Menu, that Tomei Meis is considered a more serious Tomei than a Balkeri? Laugh. Isn't what the Braisa is coming to teach us, that since a Balkeri is a lower level Tomei than a Tomei Meis, so therefore Yotz Meklal Zov, we don't consider him like a Zov, even though there is a comparison between a Balkeri and a Zov, because both of them are Tomei that something came out from the body, but the Bryce is teaching us, since it's not such a high-level tumma, it's considered like a tumma mace. And what is the Bryce teaching us? The tumma mace chamemenu, the tumma mace is a more serious tumma than a tumas balkeri, and he is mutav machna levia, as we discussed last week, that Moshe Rabbeinu even had a mace, Yosef HaTzadik, with him in the machna levia. And certainly, a Balkeri too is mutin machna leviya. Not like Rabbi Yochanan said that a Balkeri must leave the machna leviya. Says Mar Loi, that is not what the Braisa means to teach us. What it means to teach us is yotz machna tamei meis. He's not allowed to be where the tamei meis is allowed to be. V'nichnas lemachna zov. He only may be where zov might be. And the Braisa is teaching us that indeed that afal gav the tamei meis chomem menu. The Tamei Meis is a more serious tumma, and mutter machna leviya, and he's allowed to be in the machna leviya. So certainly that should teach us that a Balkeri is allowed to be in the machna leviya, because the Brice is suggesting that where a Tamei person may be or not be should be directly connected to his level of tumma. And since the Balkeri has a lower level, since the Balkeri has a lower level tumma, he should certainly be considered in the same status of a tumma mace. Still, the Braisa says, L'mayda domi medamin alei. Still, in the type of tumma a Balkeri is, it's much more similar to the type of tumma that a Zov is. As we said a moment ago, they both represent tummas that come out of the person's body, and therefore, even though in status of tumma, in Chumra of Tumma, a Balkeri is even less than a Tamei Meis, and therefore that should cause us to believe that the machnas he must leave are similar to the machnas of a tamei meis. The halacha is we still compare him to a zov and not to a tamei meis. Says the Gemara, Tana Tana, Kamed Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. The Tana taught us in front of Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. The Torah says regarding about Keri, Ki yibacha ish ashliya tar mikrei laila v'yotza mechutz machna. So machna shchina. From here we see that he's not allowed to be in the machna shchina. And then the pasuk continues teaching us lo yavay al taicha machna zu machna levia. From here we learn, as we've been discussing our entire shir, we learn lebal keri shiyotz l'shtei machnas, that he may not be neither in the machna shchina or in the machna levia. Amalei says Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, I don't understand this brisa. I don't understand this pasuk. According to the Braisa, first the Pasuk says that if he becomes Tami the Machna Shechina, he has to leave it. And if you leave the Machna Shechina, where do you go? You go into the Machna Levia. And then the Pasuk continues to say that he may not enter the Machna Levia. So it seems to be speaking about a person who's not in the Machna Levia. But the Pasuk doesn't seem to be saying that. The Pasuk seems to say that he should leave the Machna Shechina and then go into the Machna Levia. So what he's saying is, we didn't even speak about his entering the Machna Levia, and we're already talking as if he was outside the Machna Levia. Lishna Chrin, another way of expressing this question, the Torah says that he should leave the Machna Shechina, he automatically goes into the Machna Levia. The Torah never told us that he has to leave the Machna Levia, and now we're telling you as he shouldn't enter it. Where did he leave it? Ela Eima, says the Gemara, Mechutz to Machna, Zu Machna Levia, that if somebody gets Tamei in the Machna, if somebody becomes a Balkeri in the Machna Levia, he must leave it. La Yova Teicha Machna is coming to teach us the Machna Shechinosoi. And that when he leaves the Machna Levia, he certainly may not go into Machna Shechina. Maskla Ravina, asks Ravina, Eimi Idi V'Idi, but maybe the entire Pasuk is only speaking the Machna Shechina. And the Pasuk is teaching us, Lavalov, that if somebody is a Balkeri, he's over a mitzvah sasei, the Torah, and he's in the Machna Shechina, because the Torah says v'yotza, that he should leave, and he's also over a lois sasei, lo yavoi. Answers the Gemara, if the Pasuk was only speaking about the Machna Shechina, and it's not speaking at all about the Machna Levia, im kein, lemakro, then the Pasuk should have said v'yotza m'chutz the Machna, v'lo yavoi al toich. Because we're speaking all only about the same machna. Why does the Pasuk say the word hamachna twice? Hamachna lamali. Why does the Torah repeat the word hamachna? Answers the Gemara, litain loy machna cheres, to teach us that he gets the two machnas that we're speaking about, and that Balkeri may not be neither in the machna shechina nor in the machna levia. So Mishnah said, the Mishnah discussed that if Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, the halach is, you're allowed to do michi krovov. Ask the Gemara, my michi krovov. Exactly what is michi krovov? Says the Gemara, Rafun Amish Shemenakvim Besakin, they used to pierce the intestines with a knife, that the waste that's in them should come out, because if the waste is going to remain in the intestines of this animal that was slaughtered, it will cause the body, the animal, to start giving off a bad odor. There is slime that's attached to the stomach. By pressing a knife on these intestines, that slime comes out. And again, we're learning that we're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Omer Rebbe Lozer, my Tama, the Chibar Rav. How does he know to explain that the definition of Michi Krovov is that way? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, regarding tzaddikim, losa lovoi, the pasuk says, v'charvois mechim gorim yechelu. My mashma, what's this pasuk saying? Kim targum, as like Rabbi Yosef brought the targum, which is actually the targum of Rabbi Yonasim and Azil on this pasuk, v'nechseim derishaya, the assets of the rishoyim, tzaddikim yachsanon. So we see from here that the rishoyim are called mechim. Just like the waste that's considered, that's in the body of the animal is considered waste. Here too, Rishoyim are considered waste, and the Tzaddikim will take over, will inherit their inherit them. So the Gemara speaks about the first part of that pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, "V'roy kvasam kedavram," that in Mitzvah Shem, when Mashiach comes, everybody, all of Klal Yisrael will have much enjoyment. Says the Gemara. What pshat? Amar Manasha Amar Rav. It's like what Kadosh Baruch Hu said to them, what Kadosh Baruch Hu sent through his Nevi'im to Klal Yisrael. My Kamaduba Bahem, Amar Baya, the pasuk we just said, the Chavris Mechim Garm Yechelu, that the Tzaddikim will inherit the assets of the Rishoyim. Amalei Rav Bishlam Iksiv Chavris, if the pasuk says Chavris, so that would be considered the first part and the second part of the pasuk would be one pasuk, Kedekamrit. However, so the pasuk means two separate phrases. How are we connecting these two phrases? Therefore, Ela Amarava, the way to understand the pasuk, Rav Chanan Amarav, Asidim Tzadikim Shichayu Sameisim, the Tzadikim will be Mechayim Esim. Ksiv Hocha, the pasuk says here regarding the Tzadikim, Vro Chvasim Kedavram, the Ksiv Hosam, a pasuk of Micha that speaks about the world when Mashiach comes. The pasuk says, Yiru Bashan V'gilot Kmei Olam. Bashan refers to Elisha, Habom and Abashan. Shenemar V'yani V'shofet B'Bashan. V'ksiv, and it says regarding Elisha, Po Elisha ben Shofet, Ashiyotzak Mayim El Deyo, that he was the son of Shofet that lived in Bashan, that was a Talmud, and he was a Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi. Gilad refers to Eliyahu HaNavi, Shnem of Yom Eliyahu HaTishbi Metoshvei Gilad, and we find that both Eliyahu and Elisha were Mechayim Mesim. So just like they will be Mechayim Mesim, the Tzadikim Losolavoi will also have the ability to Mechayim Mesim. It's interesting that the Mefarshim ask that here the Gemara says, and we know that Elisha was a Talmud of Eliyahu. Yet here the pasuk mentions Elisha before he mentions Eliyahu. So the Mashal explains that Elisha was Mechayim Mesim two people, whereas Eliyahu HaNavi was only we only find that it was Mechayim Mesim one person, and that's why Elisha is mentioned before Eliyahu. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada explains is that Eliyahu, who's a Malach, has the ability to be Mechayim Mesim, is not as much as a chiddush as Elisha, who's not even a malach, and still he had the ability to be Mechayim Meshim. The question, of course, is that why in the pasuk, when the pasuk is trying to refer to Elisha and Eliyahu, are they referred to by the places where they live, Bashan and Gilad? So I saw that the Mashal explains that Bashan and Gilad are not really part of Eretz Yisrael, they're part of the Eivar Yarden. And we see from here that not only will the Tzaddikim have the ability to be Mechayim Mesim and Eretz Yisrael, they will also have the ability to be Mechayim Mesim in Chutz Lartz. But I saw that the Sar Sholem from Belz asks a question that the Gemara says that Sholosh Mavteches, three keys, are only in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of those three keys is the key of Tchias HaMesim. So how could Al Gemara say that the Tzaddikim will be Mechayim Mesim? So he answers very much in line with what we just discussed, that is only in Eretz Yisrael. The Mafteach of Tchias HaMesim in Eretz Yisrael, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvoyde B'atzmai will have. But here we're saying that Elisha and Eliyahu, Tzaddikim, will have the ability to be Mechayim Mesim even in Chutz Lartz. In Chutz Lartz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be Mechayim Mesim himself. He will leave it up to the Tzaddikim. Amar Rav Shimon ben Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonason, Atzidim Tzaddikim Shichayim Mesim. As we just said, Tzaddikim will have the ability to be Mechayim Mesim. Shnemar, the Pasuk says in Zechariah, Oid Yeshu, Zekenim Zekenis, Berchovis Yishalayim, V'ish Meshanta B'yodoi, Meroiv Yomim. And the Ksiv, and it says regarding Elisha, when the pasuk discusses how Elisha was mechayim mesim, it also uses the word mishanas. So we see that these two travel together. So I saw that the Sefer Shevet Misrael explains why indeed do the tzaddikim have the ability to be mechayim mesim. So he says that the tchias hamesim, the medicine, so to speak, that will cause tchias hamesim is that when Talmidei Chachamim learn, and they learn and they learn and they fall asleep on their svarim, the saliva or the liquid that come out of their mouths from just falling asleep over the sefer is what going to be done is what makes the tchias hamesim. So since the Talmid Chachamim are the ones that produce the liquid with which there is tchias hamesim, that's why the Talmid Chachamim will have ability to be mechayim mesim. And he goes on to explain that not only will the Talmid Chachamim have the ability to be mechayim mesim, but he says they will have the ability to be mechayim mesim of the individuals, even if those individuals were amaratzim who supported them. Because since those individuals helped them become Talmid Chachamim, they deserve to be helped and brought to Tchias HaMesim as well. Ula Rami. So Ula asked the following question. Ksiv, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Bila Amavas LaNetzach, that when Mashiach comes, B'mheir B'yameinu, there will no longer be any death. Ksiv, but the pasuk says, another pasuk, Kiana B'mein Shana Yomis, that a person, if he will pass away at 100 years old, he will be considered that he died as a young man. But we see that there will be death. Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Kam Yisrael, Kam Bav T'Kachavim. Yisraelim, Klal Yisrael will not experience death anymore. Akum will have Arichas Yomim, but they will experience death. Vav T'Kachavim Abahasam. Says the Gemara, what will be the need for the Akum once Mashiach comes? Answers the Gemara, the Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, V'amdu Zorim V'rod Tzoynchem, that there will be strangers who will take care of your animals. They'll take care of all your fields. They're going to help us do what we need to do. Rav Chisda Rami. Rav Chisda asked the following question. Ksiv, v'chofra halvano boshay chama. The pasuk is that the sun and moon seemingly will no longer be in employment when Mashiach comes. But another pasuk says in Yeshaya, the moonlight when Mashiach comes will be equivalent to the sunlight. And the sunlight will be seven times greater than the sunlight that was when Hashem created the world. That they will still be here, they'll just be stronger. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Kan lo Olam Haba. When Olam Haba, Kan lo Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, the moon will be stronger and the sun will be stronger. In Olam Haba, there will not be any need for the moon and the sun. Ask the Gemara, however, will Shmuel d'Amar ein bein Olam Hazel Olam Mos Mashiach, that there really won't be any difference between Olam Hazel and Mos Mashiach. El Shiva Malchus Levad. So how can we say that when Mashiach comes, already the sun will be stronger, the moon will be stronger? Mayik Lameimer answers the Gemara, the way Shmuel would interpret these two psukim is, will there be a sun and a moon, or won't there be a sun and a moon? The both psukim are speaking about Olam Haba. In the Machna Shechina, there won't be any need for sunlight, moonlight. There will be a need for sunlight and moonlight, but it will be stronger than the moonlight that we have in this world. So here the Gemara said that ein bein olam haza l'mos Mashiach ela shibin malchus blavad. That means that before Mashiach comes, I saw the Sefer Tveres Yosef explains that before Mashiach comes, Klal Yisrael will no longer be under the pressures that we have in this world. And he says a very interesting motion. He says there was an individual who was most anxious to prepare to have a beautiful Pesach Yontif. And he was working hard all the weeks before Pesach to earn enough money and to have whatever and prepare everything he needs for Pesach. Finally, the night of the Seder comes and he sits down to the Seder, but he's so exhausted, he just falls asleep and he misses the entire Seder. So too, he says, that Klal Yisrael has suffered so much during all these years of Golus. And therefore, there's a concern that when Mashiach already and Mitzvah will come, B'mheira B'yameinu, we'll be just so exhausted, we won't be able to experience and enjoy Mashiach. So that's why he says the only difference will be Shivat Malchus, that there will be other people that will take care of all of our needs, and we will be able to enjoy Mashiach B'mheira B'yameinu. Says the Gemara, Rav Rav Miksiv, the Pasuk says in Dvarim, in Ani Omes V'achia, and then it says, Ani Amos means I am the one that caused people to pass away, but I will bring Tchiyas HaMeisim. And the other pasuk says Mechatzti, that I cause people to get sick from the airport and I will heal them. So ask the Gemara, Hashta, if the pasuk says Achuyim Mechayi, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will be Mechayi Meisim, Marpa Loi Koshkein, certainly he will make people healthy. Says the Gemara, Ella, this is the way to understand the pasuk says, Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mashani Meimis, whoever passed away, ani mechaya, I will make them come back to life. K'moshim mechatzti marpa, just like I make sick people healthy, I will make people who are no longer alive come alive. Tanabonim, the pasuk says ani amos v'achya, yochum misa bechav v'chaim be'achad. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will make certain people pass away and other people come alive. K'derech shalom noig, like it is in this world, people get born and people unfortunately pass away. Tamaloyma. Says the Gemara, the reason the Pasuk says, Mechatzti v'nei erpa, because when person is made well, it's the person who got sick who gets well. Ma makav refuah be'echad, it's the same person who gets sick and then gets well. Af mis v'chaim be'echad, the same person who passed away will come alive. Says the Gemara, Mikan tshuva lo'imish ein tchiyas ha'meisim in the Torah, that those that Apikarsim used to say, the tchiyas ha'meisim is not mentioned in the Torah. And here it says that it says explicitly the concept of the Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah. Dava Achar, another pshat, Mashani Meimis Ani Mechaya. In Mitzvah Shem, when Tchiyas HaMeisim comes, what will happen is the first the people who passed away will come back to life. And let's say they passed away and they were sick and they were wounded, whatever else, Mashani Mechatzti, those people and the Arpa. So I saw, now we understand why in the bracha, the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, the bracha of Tchiyas HaMeisim, we also mention Roifei Chaylim, because we see that Tchiyas HaMeisim and Roifei Chaylim very much travel together in our Gemara. So our Mishnah said, the next thing that we'll have to do on Shabbos Erev Pesach is Hekta Chalavav, burn the Chalav with the current Pesach. Says the Gemara Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Bar Re'ei Kamam Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shim, Mitzvah b'shata, how appropriate it is to do a mitzvah in the proper time. Sharei, hekta chalavim v'varim b'dorim, burning the various parts of the carbon, sherim kalalayla, technically a kosher to be done on Matzah Shabbos. So if we're trying to minimize the chil of Shabbos, why are hekta chalavim allowed to be done on Shabbos? Shouldn't we wait for Matzah Shabbos? Yet, we don't wait for do it till Matzah Shabbos. Since the proper time, the better time, is to do it in the right time. So therefore, it's better to do it on Shabbos, even though it involves chil of Shabbos, versus doing it on Matzah Shabbos when it could technically be done. This Gemara is the basis for a question, which the Shach in Yerideya, Simon Shin Hei, Sifkat and Yudbeis, discusses a situation where a baby, a Bechor, was born, and he wasn't healthy, and he could not have a bris milah on the eighth day. And now it's the day of his Pidyon HaBen, as I just said, he's a Bechor, and it's the day of his Pidyon HaBen, and the question that the Shach, quoting the Shach of Tshuvas Ranach, discusses is, what should we do first? Should we do the Pidyon HaBen first, or should we do the Bris Milah first? The argument for doing the Pidyon HaBen first is because Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shata. Today is the day for the Pidyon HaBen. The Bris Milah, then we missed the proper time, even though, of course, it was beyond our control, but shouldn't we do a Mitzvah B'Shata first? Certainly, all the Paiskim agree that if there's a child who has not yet had a Bris Milah, and still can't have the bris milah, but already could have his, he could already have his pinyan aben, we should certainly do the pinyan aben. The question here is that both come on the same day. So even though we have a strong argument to do the pinyan aben first, the Shach, quoting the Renach, says we should do the milah first. He says, because the milah represents that the child is coming into Klal Yisrael. So first he has to come in to Klal Yisrael, and then he can do the mitzvahs. And the Shas Chuvas Chassam Sofer, Yoyredei Simen Shin, also says that we should do the Mila before the Pinyan Aben. He says that just like a ger doesn't become a ger without Mila, so because it's something that's done on the body of the person, so too the bris milah, which is done on the body of this child, versus the pinyan aben, which is not on the body of the person himself, therefore we should do the bris milah first. And moreover, he says that there's a special point that a person who already had a bris milah, he should be the individual who has the pinyan aben, not an individual who did not yet have a bris milah. However, there are other achronim, the Sefer Yad Aliyahu, based on our Gemara, that says that since we just learned chaviva mitzvah b'shata, how appropriate it is to do a mitzvah at the proper time. So included in that, he says, is doing the pinyan aben, which today is the day for the pinyan aben, before you do the bris milah, which is not today's mitzvah. Says the Gemara, harkavosai v'avosai, but bringing the animal, uchatichas yibaltoi, or taking off a wart from the animal, may not be done in Shabbos. Vermini asked the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Erevin, daf kuf gimel amud aleph toras, choytchin yabelas b'migdash, we may cut off a wart in the base of Migdash. Because the entire issur of removing a wart is only drabonon. And as we've learned many times, ein shvos b'migdash, avaloi b'medina, not outside the base of Migdash. Vim b'kli, but if one's going to use an instrument, kavakanasar. So we see from here that we may cut the wart in the Beis HaMikdash in Shabbos. Not like our Mishnah said. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Bechanini, Charam gave offer two different terutzim. Charam idi v'idi. The both Mishnayos are speaking about biyad, removing it by hand. Ha, our Mishnah that says you may not do so, is belacha, that it's a wart that's still moist. So even though in the Beis HaMikdash they were lenient on a shvus, here Chazal said we can't be lenient because we could have done it before Shabbos. And therefore, as we learned in our Mishnah, we'll still continue discussing anything that could have been done before Shabbos may not be done on Shabbos. And therefore it can't be done even though it's only a drabonon. But if the wort is dry, there is no issa drabonon to remove it by hand, and therefore it can be removed in Shabbos. The other mandama explained the way to reconcile the two Mishnayos. Idi belacha. Both are talking about a moist wort. You removing it biyad is only issa drabonon, and therefore we're lenient, ain't shvos b'migdash. Our Mishnah is b'keili, and therefore we can't do it because it's in a sederaisa. Ask the Gemara. Gemara is now going to ask why each man da omer didn't agree with the other man da omer. Ask the Gemara, l'man da omer shahav habiyad v'avakli, that the Mishnah over there is talking biyad. Our Mishnah is talking about kli. Why didn't he like the other teretz? My tamaloy omer idiv idiv biyad. Why didn't he say that both are talking biyad v'loy kasha habalach habiyvesha? Amalach, he answers, yivesha mifak pricha. A wart that's completely dried out is going to fall off by itself, and removing it is not in the category of chituch at all. Ask the Gemara, uleman dami idiv idiv biyad. The man dami that said both Mishnayos are speaking biyad, v'loy kasha, habalacha v'habiyvesha. Our Mishnah is talking about a lacha. The Mishnah Masechta Erevin is talking about a Yevesha. My Tamalai Amar, why didn't he give the other Teretz? Amalai, Kli, regarding the halacha about Kli, Haktani Hasam, the Mishnah already in Masechta Erevin told us, in Bekli, V'Klai, Kanva Asar. So there would be no need for our Mishnah to tell us that it's Asr. It's obviously Asr. We already learned the Masechta Erevin, that removing a moist wart with an instrument is Asr. Vidach, and the other man Dama says, indeed, we already learned in Masechta Erevin, why does our Mishnah here, Masechta Pesachim, need to repeat it? Hadak Tanib Kli Hacha, why is he mentioning Kli again here? Because it comes to teach us the Loch der Belezer of Yeshua, the Machlokes of Belezer of Yeshua, Aslashminen, the coin to Belezer that you could do cutting the wart even with a Kile on the current Pesach on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos. And that's why it had to be mentioned again, even though we learned this halacha already in Masechta Erevin. So we learned in the Mishnah, Amar Abelezer. Abelezer said, Im Shechita, which is a malacha, may be done on Shabbos, Erev Pesach Shabbos. So the various malachas that we discuss, which are only a Derabbanan, certainly may be done on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yeshua said that Yontif is a raya against your Svara, because on Yontif, we're allowed to do Malacha for Eichel Nefesh, and we're still not allowed to do Shvus. So just because you're allowed to do Malacha, doesn't mean that you're allowed to do Shvus. So Rabbi Eliezer said to him, I don't understand your point. There, it's something that I'm not obligated to do. Our Mishnah, we're speaking about a mitzvah. For a mitzvah, if we're allowed to do Malacha, we should certainly be allowed to do a lot of Shvus. Rabbi Yeshua, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua that brought a raya from Yontif L'Tamei is holding according to his own opinion. Dama, Rabbi Yeshua holds Simchas Yontif Nami Mitzvahi, that Simchas Yontif is a mitzvah. And still, even though anything you do for Simchas Yontif, therefore, should be in the category of mitzvah, still, Shvus is not mutter, even though it's being done for Simchas Yontif. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, the only thing a person should do in Yontif is Ela Oich V'Shoisa, or eat and drink the whole day. Of course, it doesn't mean the whole day. Nobody would suggest that we're not obligated to daven and say Krishma and hear Kriyas HaTorah. It means the rest of the time, or Yoshev Shoina, or sit and learn the entire day. And here too, of course, it doesn't mean that just sit and learn. One may not fast on Yontif. It means the majority of the day. Yeshua disagrees, and he says, Chalkeyu, what we should do is divide the day. Chetzi l'achila v'shtiyah, half the day is for sitting, for eating and drinking, v'chetzi l'beis ha-medrash, and half the day for learning. The Bach says that it has to be divided exactly 50-50. The Prima Gadim says it doesn't have to be exactly 50-50. There just should be a significant amount of the day for Hashem, a significant amount of the day Lechem. They both came to this to their positions from the same pasuk, because there's a stira. Kasev Echad Omer Atzeres Lashem Alekecha. The Kasev Echad Omer Atzeres Tiyah Lechem. So how do we look at this Atzeres? Atzeres Hashvus. Is it Lashem Alekecha or is it Lechem? So Rabbi Eliezer says the way to look at the psukim is Oy Kula Lashem, Oy Kula Lachem. We could choose. Rabbi Shua Sovar, Chalkeyu, divided, Chatzi Lashem, Vekatzi Lachem. Avam Simon, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Hakel Maidin Batzeris, but when it comes to Shvuas, everybody agrees to be inan Nami Lachem, that you have to have a lechem and shvus. My tama, yoyim shenitim v'tarehu. It's the day the Torah was given. So of course, this is a difficult gemara to understand. If it was the day that the Torah was given, so that should be a reason not to have to do lechem. It's the day of Torah. So how do we understand when the gemara says now that Hakel Moedim, that everybody agrees that it has to, that on Shavuos has to be Lechem. So there are many Terutzim offered. One Terutz is that we want to show that we're happy that we received the Torah. We don't look at the Torah as a burden, but we, on the contrary, we look at the Torah as something to be very, very happy about. The Beis HaLevi, I saw many Mefarshim explain the Gemara this way, that we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came up to receive the Torah, the Malachim said that you don't deserve the Torah. The Torah should be left with us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, respond to them. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Malachim, look at the Torah. You're not all the halachas of eating and drinking that apply to human beings that the Torah speaks about don't apply to you. And that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately prevailed. So since through eating and eating and drinking is the way we were able to receive the Torah, that was the argument that got us the Torah. That's what we're supposed to eat and drink on Shavuos. Moreover, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, the Beis Halevi points out, says that you, the Malachim, violated what the Torah says, that you're not allowed to eat Basa B'Cholav, and you ate Basa B'Cholav when you were by Avraham Avinu. And that's why the minig is that we eat dairy, we eat milchigs on Shavuos, because we eat milchigs on Shavuos, and then we eat fleishigs to show that we're careful that we eat, that we do the way it's supposed to be, not like you, the Malachim, who weren't careful to eat meat and dairy in the proper way. But then I saw that even though the Gemara is saying, that Mechaim explains, that even though we're saying, Hakel Moidim, the Betzeres Nami Bina Lachem, we have to remember that the Lachem should be a Nami. Nami means also. It should be that the eating and drinking should not be what we're busy with the entire day. It should be left in the category of Nami. Something else that I do, but it's not all that I do. Rav Shach used to say that he was once in Vilna and he went into a Sfarm store that was owned by Gerich Chassid. And he was talking to this Chassid, and the Chassid said over a vart that I heard from the Emre Emes when I was in Ger for Shavuos. The Gemara says here, regarding Shavuot, the Yontif, Chalkeyu, Chetzi L'Hashem, V'Chetzi L'Hashem. And that is actually the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen Tuf Kuf Chof Tes. So he says that the Pasuk says, V'yikach Moshe Chetzi Hadam. And Rashi says, Mi Chalkoy, who divided the dam? Says Rashi, Bo Malach V'Chalkoy. A Malach divided it, because a person cannot divide it perfectly. So he says, on Yontif, every Jew becomes a Malach. And therefore, since every Jew becomes a Malach, that's why on Yontif we have the ability of Chalkeyu, Chatzi L'Hashem, V'Chatzi L'Chem, when we are in the category of a Malachim. And I saw that the Torah, when it speaks about Shavuos, it calls Atzeres. What does the Torah call Shavuos Atzeres? The Torah is coming to teach us that a person should hold himself back from anything else but doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That even the Divrei Rishus, eating and drinking, are also part of Avodas Hashem. That's why specifically on Shavuos, which is the day that we show that we are part, that we accept the Torah. What does accepting the Torah teach us? Accepting the Torah teaches us that we are ready to do just what Hashem wants. Everything we do, even the lechem, is under the purview of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rava says the Gemara Hakel Moedim B'Shabbos. Everybody agrees that on Shabbos bina nami lechem. My Tama, because the pasuk says v'koros l'Shabbos oinik. But unlike Yom Tovim, says the Magen Avraham, if somebody wants to fulfill the lechem, it's better not to eat and not to drink. That's okay if that's what his oinik Shabbos is. Because Shabbos, it doesn't say simcha. Shabbos, it says oinik. Amar Rav Yosef, hakam oinik b'purim b'dinami lechem. Everybody agrees that on Purim we need lechem. My tama, because regarding Purim, you may mishtav a simcha k'siv. The Torah calls Purim, you may mishtav simcha, and the way we do mishtav simcha is by eating and drinking. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Ravina Kula Shata of Yosef Tanisa, the entire year he fasted, Levami Atzarta, except for Shavuos, or Pur Yom Purim, or Mali Yom Kippurim, and Erev Yom Kippur. Atzeres, as we just learned, Yom Shnit Nevatah Torah. A Torah Shavuos is the day that we received the Torah, and we just gave the reasons why we should therefore eat on Shavuos. Puraya, as the Pasuk says in the Megillah, Yimei Mishta V'Sivcha K'siv. Ma'al Yom Dikpura, the Tanakh Yibarama Difti, the Pasuk says, V'Nisim V'Nashaseichem B'Tishal Chaydish, and the question is, V'Chi B'Tisha Masanim, do we fast on 9 days in Tishrei? Yom Kippur is 10 days in Tishrei. V'Loi B'Siri Masanim, Eloi Melach Kol Oich V'Shoyz B'Chi, whoever eats on Erev Tisha B'Av, Ma'al Lov HaKosu Kilo Masanim Shiv V'Siri, it's considered as if he fasted on both of those days. So here we learn that the right thing to do is to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. There's many reasons why. The simple reason is that because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and he knows that even though tomorrow we're going to fast, we should eat today, so we should have the ability to fast tomorrow. It's a preparation for the fasting. The Rebbeinu David explains, the reason we fast, the reason we eat is to show that we are confident that we're going to have mechilas avoinus. The Rosh says to show how Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us, that even though he told us to fast, he also worries about us and tells us to eat. Another pshat is that just the opposite. If we're going to eat a lot Erev Yom Kippur and then the next day we stop eating, then it becomes more difficult. Here we see that the Pasuk says, Kila Masana Shiva Siri, that it's considered as if the eating is equal to the Inui. And in fact, the Magen Avraham says that Erev Yom Kippur, a person should learn less than he normally needs to learn in order that he should be able to mekayim the mitzvah of eating and drinking. But Darach HaShulchan points out that the mitzvah of eating and drinking on Erev Yom Kippur is only during the day of Erev Yom Kippur, not the night before. So the question that many poskim discuss is, does this halacha apply to women as well or not? Because women, on one hand, are part of a mitzvah seishas man grama. So eating on Erev Tisha B'Av is a mitzvah seishas man grama that women should be accept. On the other hand, one could say that since women are obligated to eat, to fast on Yom Kippur, so these halachas perhaps travel together. And whoever has to fast on Yom Kippur has to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And really is connected to the various reasons we gave for eating on Erev Yom Kippur. So certainly it seems that the Paiskim, the Chassam Sofer, the Ksav Sofer discussed this extensively, that a woman who's not going to be fasting on Yom Kippur, maybe she doesn't have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Certainly, however, if a woman's fasting on Yom Kippur, she should eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And even if she's not fasting on Yom Kippur, she should try to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, because these two mitzvahs may not necessarily travel together. Rabbi Yosef, b'yom datzarta, Rabbi Yosef on Shavuos, Amar, he would tell his family members, Avdli Egla Tulsa, make me an Egla Tulsa. Throughout Shas, there's a number of Pshatim and Egla Tulsa. Either it's the third calf born from its mother, that's the best calf. Another Pshat is a calf that's a third grown. Why three? Because the Torah is given in three. Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. It was given to Klal Yisrael that are made up of three groups, Kahanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim. Amar, and he used to say, why am I specifically happy on today? Because Elav HaYoyma the Kagarim, if not for today, Shavuos, Kama Yosef Ikabashukha. There are plenty of people whose name is Yosef in the Shuk. But I and became who I am only because of the Torah. Of course, the Mefarshim asked the question, Rabbi Yosef was a tremendous honor. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef was a person that was modest. And here in our Gemara, we find that Rabbi Yosef is taking such an interesting position, and he's saying that if not for the Torah, there would be plenty other Rabbi Yosef in the Shuk. And all of a sudden today, he's holding himself so great. He says that he was really, the Yeshuas Yaakov says, that he was really trying to be humble. And he's saying, the only reason I was able to succeed was because of the Torah. If not for the Torah, I might not have been anything special. It's only the Torah that prevented me from doing the wrong thing. And that's why I'm really not that great. It's only the Torah that helped me not be what a bad person. He would review all of his Torah every 30 days. And then, he would stand by the door. I need to be happy. I learned Chumash because of you. I learned Mishnah because of you. And therefore, because of you, I will have Olam Haba. Ask the Gemara, Eini v'amr b'lozer, ilmo l'toyol in tzkayim shemayim v'aretz, shnem alay b'risi yoyim v'layla, chukas shemayim v'aretz lo yisamti. So, we see that the entire world exists because of the Torah, not just this individual. Answers the Gemara, Mikar ki avad inish, adatid nafshik avad. When a person begins to learn, he should learn just for his own sake. Then, after he grows in his learning, then he becomes great that the whole world stands because of him. But the Gemara says that he was standing by the doorway. Again, what the Mefarshim are trying to say, sort of Mechzalozah explains it, what they're trying to explain is this the way that he spoke in such a boastful manner. But what it means to say is he was standing by the doorway. And therefore, he's saying that as much as I learned, I'm only at the beginning, I'm only at the door. Dalshach explains. The Pasuk says, we say the Pasuk every day, L'man yirbu yumeichem v'yumei v'neichem, k'mei ha-shamayim ha-la-oretz. The Pasuk is teaching us that a person who learns Torah, yirbu yumeichem, that even that if this individual was not supposed to live a long life, by learning Torah, he will be zoicha to arichas yomim. Just like the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah regarding Abaya, that even though he was from the family of Eli, that they was not supposed to live long, but because he learned Torah and because he did Gemilas Chesed, he was Zoichet Terichas Yomim. And the same with Rava, because he learned Torah, he lived longer, even though he came from the family of Eli. And therefore, if the person is going to ask, if the person who learns Torah and does mitzvahs is zoicha to riches yomim, says the pasuk, k'mei shemayim al oretz, because you were the person that helped the world come and stay in existence, as we just learned, emolei Torah. If not for the Torah, learn the sky m'shemayim v'aretz, l'man yirbu yomeichem, you're going to be zoicha, says the alshech, to riches yomim, because k'mei shemayim al oretz. You, the people like you who learn Torah, who keep the world existing, therefore deserve l'man yirbu yumeichem tariches yomim.